every day. People with disabilities everywhere try to do things, like go to the grocery store, go outside, and just live their lives. Every day, able-bodied people come up to them and call them inspiring, and tell them how happy they are to see them outside. Hi, I'm Kyle Cacciadorian of The Accessible Stall, and I'm here to tell you to leave us the f*** alone. Please. It's all we want. We are people too. Why can't you just f***ing see that?
Hi, I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And I'm Emily Liddow.
And this is another episode of The Accessible Stall.
That is not how I do it.
But it's how we did it today. Ask me what we're going to talk about.
But you did it wrong. It's supposed to be, and you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
Well, you know, this is the first time I did the intro, so now it is my honor to tell you, Emily, that we're going to talk about porn today.
No, wait, that's inappropriate.
Not that kind of porn.
What kind of porn?
Inspiration porn.
Oh, no. I don't think I like the sound of that.
Why not?
I don't know. What is it, Kyle? Tell me what it is.
You don't know what inspiration porn is?
How?
What kind of disability advocate are you?
Okay, clearly I know what inspiration porn is. And also, it was kind of my idea to do this episode, and Kyle encouraged me to do it because I came to him because I saw instance number 5,643,000 of inspiration porn whilst scrolling through the internet. And I basically said that I am so sick of this and we need to talk about it because it is driving me bonkers.
Right. So, for the good folks at home, Emily, how would you define inspiration porn?
It is anything that uses someone who is disabled to evoke positive emotions in non-disabled people.
Anything that uses disabled people to invoke positive emotion in non-disabled people. That sounds pretty innocuous, though, don't you think? Like, when you define it that way.
Well, I mean, I don't have the technical definition over here. That's just what I would describe it as. But
no, I agree with you. But it's the reason I say that is because it's not a good thing. But the way you describe it, it sounds sort of not like it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal. And that's why we're going to talk about it today.
Well, okay. So I think that it's hard when it's called inspiration porn because it kind of makes people stop in their tracks and be like, what?
Yeah.
But that's also the point.
Well, the way I've always heard it is sort of like, it's not just disabled people, although we like to, you know, we use it. It happens to us the most. It's not so much that it's a disabled person that invokes positive emotion in an able-bodied person. Like, that's not the sinister part. But the sinister part is it uses the disability specifically and ignores the person that does that. And then the emotion that it evokes, although positive, is totally like vacuous. So it's like all you're doing is sort of looking at a poster or something and feeling good that you're not that guy, which is.
So better explanation as per my hero, Stella Young. The term describes when people with disabilities are called inspirational, solely or in part on the basis of their disability.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Much better definition than ours.
But I think that our particular definition fits what we're talking about, too. It's just that the way that it sounds is fairly, like, what's the big deal?
Well, in and of itself, it doesn't sound like it's a big deal, but the reason that it becomes one is because you start to see it everywhere once you know what it is, and that, you know, you start to wonder why it's okay.
That's because it is everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere, and it's just this really weird thing that the entire world has accepted is okay to do, that it's okay to feel like good about yourself that you're not disabled, but that it's also okay to interrupt the life and day of a disabled person to congratulate them on leaving the house today, which is strange to me and Emily as well as disabled people.
I don't know that it's strange so much. I sort of understand it, but it's bothersome. So, like, I understand inspiration porn. I really do. I get it. Because society is trained to look at things that are somehow considered inferior or something like that and have a particular emotional response.
Right.
But at the same time, it's kind of paradoxical because aren't you supposed to be inspired by something or like get warm, fuzzy feelings from something that is actually a positive thing and not just like a person going about their daily lives? I guess that would require us to even talk about what examples of inspiration porn are. Because we're sitting here talking about inspiration porn, but we haven't really given examples.
I don't know if there are very many audio examples that we can sort of splice into this, but, you know, it's sort of...
Every commercial ever?
Yeah, so if you've ever seen a commercial with somebody with a disability in it, the odds are that it's, you know, cool colors, sad piano music in the background, maybe 10 seconds of a sob story, and then the friends come in and it's happy music and then a pat on the back and everyone is happy. That, I mean, I'm just making that up, but I'm sure
you're not
that
making that up. That's the Guinness basketball commercial.
Yeah, but I like that. And I think I'll explain why I like that one and we'll put a link in the thing. But I that's one of the ones where I don't mind.
We can also put a link to my scathing critique.
Yeah, we should. But things like that are what we would define as inspiration porn. And I think part of the reason we're doing this episode, I think because most people, I would imagine that most people who listen to us are or know someone who is disabled, so may, are probably familiar with the term. But it's very rarely looked at any deeper than, oh, this is a bad thing, or don't do this thing, or don't, you know, this is a thing that you shouldn't participate in if you can help it. But I think that there's more to it than to just look at it and say, this is bad.
I do think it's more nuanced and complex. But I'm pretty sure that anytime you're using a disabled person for the sake of inspiring others without particular cause or real basis for it, then it's bad. I would say...
Yes, I would agree with you.
So, example being all the people who have ever encountered me and been like, I don't know how you do it. I wouldn't even be able to get out of bed in the morning. Like, I don't even know how you get dressed and good to see you out today. And like, just being amazed at my general existence and humanity. And that in and of itself is treating me, a person, as inspiration porn. Because essentially, porn is a form of objectification, right? In many cases.
Yeah.
In many cases. Yeah, no, not in all cases.
No, but I mean, even in, you know, it's actual definition, adult entertainment. You have people being objects for the exploitation of the viewers, of people watching them. You have, yeah, that's what it means.
No, not for, you mean like, you have people who are being objectified and or exploited for the entertainment of the viewers. You said,
yes,
for the exploitation of the viewers.
I'm sorry, for the entertainment of the viewers.
But yes. Anyway, so the word porn makes sense. I feel like that's the part of the conversation that's often left out of inspiration porn, but it comes down to being a form of objectifying people. So when you see me out and about, and I'm shopping, and I'm in the grocery store, and you say that it's so good to see me out, you're kind of objectifying me. All I'm doing is going about my business, and you're inspired by my existence, which I cannot control that you feel that way, but I wish you wouldn't.
But I think you're sort of talking about two things that are very intertwined.
What?
It's, well, because you have, it's twofold. On the one hand, the problem isn't that somebody's inspired by you. The problem, or not even that you invoke inspiration in them. The problem is why, it sounds like, from the way that you speak, the way that you're telling the story. It sounds like because that there's no reason behind what you're doing, whatever it is, the fact that they find inspiration from your existence rather than your accomplishments or doing something cool or something like that is the issue.
Well, yeah, because going to the grocery store isn't cool. I mean, to be completely honest, I happen to love going to the grocery store.
I mean, you know.
But that has nothing to do with anything. And I mean, I am the type of person who will, like, get excited going through the aisles of the grocery store and, like, spin my chair around in circles and pull things off the shelf and throw them in the shopping cart. I don't know. I really like grocery shopping.
That's
not the point here.
I know. But there's a difference, I think, between being inspired and being objectified and also being inspiring. And I think that when you read an article about inspiration porn, you only hear about it from the perspective of the disabled person being objectified. And that's completely valid and the worst part of it. But then, you know, what happens if the disabled person does something inspiring? Actually inspiring.
Oh, and see, I thought you were going to say, like, why don't we interview the people who are inspired and find out why? And then I was going to have to reach through the computer and punch you in the face.
I would love to, but I wouldn't even know where to find. I mean, I do. All we have to do is go out and sit in a street corner for about 5 minutes and one will show up.
Ask someone what they're inspired about, like, it better be substantive. There better be a real reason. If it's that I'm out and about and I overcame my disability enough to be out in public, then oh my God.
Well, it says a lot about the other person, doesn't it? Like, how boring is your life that seeing another human being is inspiration to you?
Sure, but it depends what that other human being is doing, which is what you were getting at before. Like,
I know.
If the person is being a baller, such as what we talked about in our last episode, where the person, such as Robin, is doing something legitimately cool.
Yes, and is a really amazing athlete.
Then, sure, I'm inspired. But I'm not inspired solely because you have a disability.
Yeah, but I kind of am. And I say that as someone else with CP. It's not that she's inspiring to me only because she has CP. She's inspiring to me because she can do something I can't and has CP. And that's where I think that there's a huge difference, because I think it's, I don't think that taking a person's disability in with the accomplishments that they have or that they have done and then using that to feel inspiring is inherently wrong. I don't think that. I think that when you take only the disability and conflate it with something ordinary, it's wrong.
So I'm sort of contemplating this now. So are you saying that if someone disabled does something legitimately awesome, then yes, you are factoring in the disability, but it's also sort of the same as if you were someone who really looked up to, let's say, guitarists in a band. And so you look up to that guitarist, and if they have some kind of unique story that goes with how they got to where they were, then that would further impact how you looked up to them.
Absolutely. Yes. But also, if what they do is impacted directly by their disability, for example, there's nothing about your disability that inhibits you from going to the grocery store, except if the grocery store is inaccessible, pretty much, and maybe a high shelf. But if somebody can do something extraordinarily well that their disability directly impacts their ability to do, then yeah, they're that much more inspiring to me than if they weren't disabled. But I don't think that that's a bad thing. I don't. And I'm not just saying that in a way that suggests, oh, I'm disabled too, I can say that. I genuinely mean that.
So, I guess there are disabled people that I look up to because they are disabled and also awesome. But for some reason, the reasons that I'm inspired still feel different to me than some of the reasons that other people profess to be inspired.
But they are, and they're real, but their disability is still part of it. Now, I wouldn't say that that makes you hypocritical, because you have reasons, and so do the people that are inspired by your existence at the grocery store. But the difference there, at least hearing it from you and interpreting it for me, is that there's there's a difference between, you know, being disabled and accomplishing a lot, and also, you know, XYZ in a world that, you know, already doesn't like us. And, oh, Emily went to the grocery store today. One is vapid and one is not.
You know what this is making me think about?
What?
I wonder if anyone who's ever said that it's good to see me out has someone in their life who has a disability, and that person is not quite as active. And so maybe they're responding based on the fact, or you know what? I changed my mind, because I think that's giving them way too much benefit of the doubt.
Well, I think they might. More, you don't know.
I don't know, but I think more to the point is they probably have seen someone on TV with a disability looking super pathetic. Or they just have this overarching notion of disability is pathetic. And so when we as visibly disabled people are not fitting into that image in their head, then it's sort of surprising for them.
You know, I think that's the heart of the issue. We can argue back and forth as to, you know, being inspiring because of disability is bad, and being inspired because of someone who is disabled is bad. But that's no big deal in comparison, I think, to the reason why that is, which is that on a whole, in general, society thinks that disability is a bad thing. I think that if that wasn't the case, then it wouldn't matter. Or at least it would be a footnote instead of the entire reason of your being inspiring.
I just wish that people would say that they find me inspiring after knowing things about me. And even then, I still get frustrated, so I'm not 100% sure that I'm sticking by what I just said, because as much as I at least appreciate if someone knows why they're inspired by me, and it's more than just my general existence, you know, so for example, I travel a lot independently, and people are just always so impressed by that. And they always say, oh my God, good for you. I could never do that. I don't know how you do that. And for some reason, and maybe this is just me, I always feel like they're saying it out of complete and utter shock and surprise that I, a very visibly disabled woman, travel independently and have a very hectic travel schedule. And for me, if somebody told me that they traveled all the time, when I would say, I don't know how you do it, I would literally mean, I don't know how you, a human being, regardless of ability or disability, do it.
Well, if you interpret it that way, how do you know that's not what I mean, I get it. I mean, I'm not.
Usually the comments are accompanied with wheelchair-related things.
I was just playing devil's advocate. I know. But the thing, see, that bothers me, though. That would bother me, too. Because what they're saying is, I couldn't live your life. And, okay, that's probably true, but nor can you. You don't know what it's like. You know what I mean? That's why it's almost like it means absolutely nothing. It's so meaningless. All it does is makes the person who said it feel better.
No one can live anyone's life.
Well, yeah, and it makes you feel worse, but that's okay, because they're totally ignorant to that fact, even if you tell them they don't know.
But at the same time, sometimes I do feel kind of good about myself, because I think, yeah, I am disabled, and I do travel independently all the time, and it is kind of a raging pain in the ass to navigate things on my own with my wheelchair and my luggage and whatever, but I do it, and I guess I don't want a cookie for that. You know, just because it is more difficult for me, I acknowledge that, but I don't need praise for that. That's not why I do what I do. And I think that's where I have trouble with all of it, because it's not that I don't think that someone disabled dealing with things that are already kind of a pain for non-disabled people isn't, like, sort of an accomplishment, but it's just that I wish we could get to the point in society where doing these sorts of things wasn't recognized as more of an accomplishment because you're disabled. Because a lot of that points to the fact that the world still makes things so difficult for us. Like,
you know what's funny? That's a very good point. When somebody says to you, "Oh, Emily, I don't know," well, they don't know your name. "Oh, wheelchair woman, I don't know how you do it." What they're saying, unbeknownst to them, is that they recognize how inaccessible the world is.
Pretty much.
And they know. I mean, and I'm not going to say, and they don't do anything about it, because why should they? They're able-bodied. It doesn't affect them at all. And I get that. It doesn't make it right, but I totally understand why somebody would feel that way. But when you say that to someone, that's what you're doing. You're acknowledging the fact of how inaccessible the world is. And I don't even know what they're trying to say. Like, oh man, oh, geez, but you did it. But when we hear that, or I don't want to say we, because I don't hear it as much as Emily does, but I feel like, you know, when somebody hears that, that's all you're saying is, good for you. This world sucks for you, and I know it, and you know it, and you did it anyway. Yay. Like, it's dumb.
Yeah, I think that's actually the subtext of all inspiration porn. I really do think so.
I said a lot of things. Which one are you talking about?
Well, no, I think there was an overarching message to what you said, which was that people are essentially acknowledging that the world is not built for disabled people to navigate. And so they're basically saying, you did it. The world sucks, but you did it. They obviously don't say it like that, but that's kind of the underlying meaning, because otherwise there would be no reason to say it in the first place.
Absolutely. But, see, now that's strange to me, because the world doesn't suck as much for them, and they can see that it does for us, and they know it, because, you know, we tell them, too. We say, like, oh, well, it's different for us when we do things like this podcast or write or whatever. So I'm not going to say that, therefore, that feeds into it, but I wonder if, you know, I don't know about this podcast, but you do public speaking, you know, do you often wonder if what you say, I'm not going to say falls on deaf ears, but sort of like you can see or feel when people get the wrong message from what you're saying?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes.
And it's so, because I've only spoken maybe like twice in my life, but it's such a weird thing. It's like, because I mean, I don't know about you, but I can totally, like, oh my God, you're the worst. Like, I can see it. I can watch you get inspired with more everything I'm saying. And it's like, it's the exact opposite of what I'm trying to tell you.
That's the most, like, hilariously insightful and relevant thing you've ever said, because I was just thinking, as you were saying that, so earlier today I was talking to somebody and they were just sort of going on and on about being inspired by disabled people and what I do and blah, blah, blah. And they want to incorporate the importance and inspiration of disabled people into what they're doing. And I was just so rubbed the wrong way, but I didn't even know how in a short conversation I could dismantle this person's entire perception of me. Like,
that's a big deal. I mean, I don't blame you for not knowing how to do that.
You know what? It was honestly one of those things. I picked my battles, like, and I know we talk about this a lot on the podcast, but in this case, I really did pick my battles. So the person said wheelchair bound, and I decided, let's start here. And then the person asked me, you know, my opinions on disability. And the terminology that I prefer and started going on and on about how empowering differently abled is.
Was she disabled?
No.
Too? That's funny.
No. And
not that that matters. I mean, just, I'm going to say that too.
It, no, it of course matter, not. There are plenty of people who totally get it. And I just, it gives you pause because you realize that a lot of people in the world really think they're doing the right thing by calling you differently abled or handicapable or patting you on the back. Like, they honestly think that you're so down that you need that.
You know what, though? And this isn't us, but there might be some who do. And that's why, and I hate to say it, and I really do, but, like, you know, this is one of those moments where I'm like, you know, we're not representative of all disabled people. And although I think what we say is the most correct, that there's more than just the vocal minority that we live in, you know, and I wonder often if there are people, because I don't know any, who, when they're out and about shopping for groceries, really do appreciate that. I mean, I don't, and you don't, and I don't think anyone we know does, but it really wouldn't surprise me if there wasn't someone out there who did.
It's all in the frame, the framing and the phrasing for me. I mean, there are times when I kind of do want someone to be like, hey, you put a lot of effort into things. I commend you for that. But again, that all goes back to the recognition that this is a difficult place to live in, this world, if you are disabled. And so I don't want that recognition just for the sake of making the other person feel good. That's what it all comes down to.
Well, that too. Yeah.
My difficulties don't exist to make you feel better about yourself. And that's where the other problem lies with inspiration porn. And the same thing for pity porn, which I don't think is as widely used a term, but nevertheless is a thing.
I think it's more of a thing. It's a shame that it's not widely as used a term, because I think that that is much more accepted than inspiration porn is, because at least with inspiration porn, you can sort of see that maybe their heart was in the right place. But with pity porn, it's all it is making themselves feel better for nothing.
Yeah. So perfect example, and the whole thing that sparked this particular podcast, is a picture, and I guarantee you probably seen this at some point, a photo of someone with a visible disability asking you to click like or share on social media.
Or whatever, for like prayers or dollars or whatever.
Or to whatever. Say that you think they're beautiful.
I just said or whatever. That's like the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life.
No, it's not, Kyle, I assure you.
Well, that's oddly comforting. God, you're inspiring me so much right now.
But I think that everyone's probably, if everyone has not encountered the whole click like if you think this visibly disabled person is beautiful thing, then you have at least seen a photo of a disabled person doing something like athletic or whatever, and then it says, what's your excuse?
Or as the caption. Only disability in life is a bad attitude. Oh my God. And you know, that's a thing. That's a thing.
Damn it, Scott Hamilton.
But actually
said that.
I said this on an episode that we lost, is I, as a certified card-carrying disabled guy person, know exactly what he meant. And it's a shame, because the message, what he meant, I don't think is entirely terrible. But I do think that the way that he chose to say it is probably, if you had to pick a worst way, like, to have it scientifically researched and did like focus groups and all that crap, I think he nailed it, you know?
Yeah, it's terribly put, but at the same time, the intention was all there, but leave it to every non-disabled person to misconstrue it.
But that's the, I mean, and again, like,
or maybe we're wrong. I don't know. Maybe he meant it like that. Maybe he did mean that the only disability in life is a bad attitude, and that if you have a bad attitude, then that's what will make you suffer because you're disabled or something.
Well, okay, if that's what he meant,
And keep in mind, Scott Hamilton was dealing with cancer. So not specifically a disability that he was born with or anything like that.
Acquired, I mean, I don't know. That's a whole different world. One that I will not speak on because that's just far beyond what I'm capable of understanding. But, you know, in terms, while we're on the subject of attitude, I think that if you're disabled, it pays to be, you know, if you're going to look at the world in a negative way when you already have physical disadvantages, you're going to have a worse time than if you just try to.
Oh, that was the most Pollyanna thing you have ever said.
Polly what?
You don't know what Pollyanna is?
You're going to have to explain it to me.
It's like a reference for some very overly cheerful old character.
Oh, well,
you're such a Pollyanna.
Well, I don't mean, you don't have to be cheer. I mean, if you are, God bless you, but you don't have to be. But I'm just saying, having a physical disability puts you at an immediate physical disadvantage for the world because it's not built for us. Yes, okay, I'll give you that it's more society's fault than whatever diagnosis you have. Of course it is. But I think that if that turns into a cycle of woe is me, that you're just not going to have a good time.
But you're also illustrating this constant vicious cycle that a lot of disabled people live in, which is that on the one hand, if we're down and out about how difficult it is to exist in this world, then we are the bitter cripple. And if we're overly cheerful, then we're like the disabled person who will never let anything get them down. And we're just so happy to be alive. And look at us out there inspiring everyone. So you can't win. You can't just be a person.
That's a very good point. And I can't stand it. I've seen that. I can't stand it. You know, you it's true. You're either just a bitter disabled person or, you know, you're a walking ray of sunshine that you, as the walking ray of sunshine in the scenario, might not even want to be. You might just, you know, but that's a lot of pressure.
I don't want to be either of those things.
No, that's what I'm yeah, me neither.
And sometimes.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes we do.
Yeah, like sometimes I am really bitter. And sometimes I am that ray of sunshine on wheels.
You are never. Yes, you are. I was going to say that, but.
You were going to say I'm not, but you know that I can be.
Yeah, if I put like a small dog in your face.
Oh, God, I love dogs.
See?
But for real, though, I guess I go back and forth.
As
does everybody, but for some reason it's more noticeable when disabled people do it.
Well, that's because quote unquote, society says that we can only live in one of two extremes, which is nonsense. You know, I don't. And it's true for a lot of things. With people with disabilities and the way that society perceives us, right? We have a lot of, like, on or off binary options for how the world sees us.
We're so binary. We're not, but we're perceived in sets of binaries.
Which isn't. There are some things that are. But a lot of things with disability are not. In fact, most things with disability are not. You know, asexual versus fetishized. Or happy-go-lucky or bitter, or
inspirational or pity,
or inspirational or pity, or inspirational or ungrateful,
or then also like victim or criminal.
Yes.
Good guy or bad guy.
Can't be both.
Yeah, it's.
You know, and it's so weird because I mean, for me specifically, I toe the line more than Emily does. You know.
What do you mean?
People don't see me as disabled immediately. They learn that. And you can always, always see the little glimmer of whatever in their eyes go away when they learn. And it's my favorite thing about meeting people because it's like, oh, you're about to treat me differently forever. Like, you can't go back to 5 seconds ago ever again. And for the most part, you know, when you know good people, I don't mind getting treated differently because there are times when, boy, I need to be. It matters. And those good people only ever do it when it does matter. But I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the ones that once they find out, their perception of you is just forever different and there's no going back and just the world's over and that's it. Now, instead of just Kyle, I'm a just some guy who's in a hard world, and oh, I'm suddenly an adversary, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just so stupid. It's like, you know, it was fine 5 minutes ago. What happened? What? So I have a neurological thing that you don't and won't ever. And I'll tell you.
His brain is messed up.
And I'll tell you all about it. But I get if you that you're going to think of me differently for like 5 minutes to wrap your head around it, or maybe even a week. But like,
but
I don't know.
Why should you have to?
No, we shouldn't.
You know,
have
it's
to.
One of those
I'll,
things.
I'll give them that though. I'll give them that because it's different. I'll give them the different.
Yeah,
thing.
But everybody is different. I mean, if that's the case, like I should, then wouldn't I have the same reaction upon meeting someone and them telling me something about themselves, and then I have to sit there and wrap my head around it? You know,
if that's something affected every single aspect of their life, yeah. It's like when you're, you know, in your first sociology 101 class and you realize that, you know, racism is a lot bigger of a problem than TV ever taught you when you were growing up watching Family Matters or something.
Do you know what I remember most about my sociology 101 class?
What?
It was in high school and we watched a documentary on Jeffrey Dahmer and I didn't sleep for a week.
Well, there you go.
So, ask me if sociology 101 was productive.
I'm going to say yes.
No.
Well, my point is when you as a person learn anything about another person that can fundamentally color every aspect of how that person sees the world, I'm not going to blame you for treating them differently to a point.
No, because I blame them.
It's something that you as the person observing it don't know.
No, take it into consideration, but don't treat me differently.
Well, this, but
that's
but,
where
see,
you lose me.
I see. I disagree because I agree with you to the people that always treat you differently. The ones I was describing before, but good people, most people I say are good people. I think that maybe I'm just a little too optimistic, but the people who only treat you differently when it matters, when they do take it into consideration and whatever situation makes it matter, I'm not going to fault that.
What kind of differently are you talking about? Are you talking about the differently where it's like, they respect your needs and understand that the circumstances may be different for you, so you may have to do something differently, so they plan something differently or approach something differently? Or are we talking about the kind of treat you differently where they handle you with kid gloves because they know that you have a disability? I mean,
I am talking about the first one. If you're going to do the special voice and talk down to me after learning that I'm disabled, you're the exact kind of person that I was describing that I hate just a few minutes ago. I give you the benefit of the doubt to a point, and that's where my point stops. You know, it's one thing when you treat me differently when it matters, like when it comes to really stupid niche access needs that I need. Like, I get that. I am different. But if you're going to treat me like, if you're going to patronize me or talk down to me or do stuff like that or see me as an inspiration for leaving the house, then I just don't like you. That's all there is to it. I don't care. You're going to be ignorant forever and it's not going to be my problem because I hate you anyway.
No, see, I don't think these people need to be ignorant forever. I just really think these people need a good talking to.
I don't think they need to be, and I do think they need a good talking to, but if you're going to be that way to me, I'm not going to be the one to do it. And I'm
Mr.
usually,
I love teachable moments.
I do, but there's a point where it's like, I'm okay with some level of ignorance. I can't expect everyone to know how to act in every situation about something that they don't know. I cannot accept willful ignorance, and that's what that is.
But I think that the root of all of this here, since we started out by talking about inspiration porn and pity porn, is that these sorts of things give people license to treat someone differently from the comfort of their chair or the comfort of their own home. Do you know what I'm saying? So basically,
yes.
Like,
you don't even have to find a real one. You don't even have to find a disabled person.
So,
forget
objectifying me or making comments in person. You know, the fact that disabled people are the subject of memes and GIFs or peanut butter, whatever it is.
It's GIFs. You say GIF, I don't like you.
Somebody said it was GIF.
The creator says GIF. The creator invented it. Okay, I'm the creator. I can say whatever I want. But you know what? You didn't invent, though, the way letters are pronounced, and it's pronounced GIF. So shut up, guy who made GIF.
Is it really?
Yes.
Choosy moms choose GIF. Anyway, hey, peanut butter, want to sponsor us?
No.
I love peanut butter.
Me too. It's the best, but I don't like GIF.
Anyway, I don't like the idea that we seem to be one of the only populations of people who can just be so easily objectified by the click of a button.
For no reason either.
And I think
it's literally for nothing.
Yeah, but as soon as I said that, that's entirely not fair because I think about like the hungry, starving children.
No, I think that that's the same.
That's pity porn.
They're in our... That's the same type of thing.
Yeah, so like...
Not helping the starving children by pressing like on Facebook.
You're also not helping a disabled person by making their life more accessible.
What?
In the same way... See, we're both getting excited about this now because we're talking over each other, but in the same way that you're not helping a hungry person or actually feeding them a meal by hitting like... You're literally just sharing this because it makes you look like a good person because you felt sad for a minute and you want other people to know that you were emotionally bothered by this image of a starving, hungry Ethiopian child. And then, like, it's the same thing. If yes. It's the disabled person, it is the same thing. You share it because you want other people to see what a kind, good-hearted person you are that you cared so much to take 5 seconds to hit share.
Right. And in reality, not only does it do nothing, but the person in the picture doesn't know you did it, doesn't care you did it.
Or does doesn't even care, know because I've seen people who have had their pictures stolen. Oh, well,
I've never, I mean, if that's ever happened to you, that's a terrible thing. I know somebody who had her
picture stolen.
But, well, that's awful. If you, you know, that's just, don't steal other people's pictures or likenesses or work. I mean, the internet's a big dumb place for that, but that's a terrible, terrible thing to do. But yeah, it's the exact same thing. You know, you're not doing anything but making yourself feel good for a minute because look how much of a decent hearted person you are.
And that makes me mad.
Me too.
Because I'm not going to look at you, share a picture of you, and think that I'm a good, kind-hearted person for doing it.
I just think it's stupid. It's just dumb. It's just dumb. If you're one of those people, you're dumb. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
And yet somehow I just keep feeling like the people who
you know what you don't could do
this are the ones who listen to us.
If you are someone that does do it, here's what you can do in the 2 seconds that it takes to, you know, click share. You can go to Google, right? And you can, like, find our podcast or go to Wikipedia or type in the word disability or do anything else. And it's probably more productive. In fact, you don't even have to do anything related to disability. You can scroll right past and get up and fill up a water bottle and drink it because, you know, you probably didn't drink enough water today. That's still more productive. I'm so serious, though.
Oh, well, here's a good one. So all the people who share disabled people doing various sports-like things. So like a little amputee kid running.
Sports-like things?
Yeah, I hate sports. A little amputee kid run into the finish line or whatever, which seems to be one of the more popular what's your excuse memes. How about instead of sharing that, how about you get off your lazy behind away from Facebook and go exercise?
If you're so inspired, why don't you put your money where your mouth is and go do it? Actually, that's a good point. There was recently.
Are you being mean?
No, I don't care. These are mean people. They're being mean. They think they're being mean because it makes them. They think they're being nice because it makes them feel good. That's a mean thing to do. It is, but actually, what you said before is a very good point. So, there was a bodybuilder with cerebral palsy recently. I think it was in Mr. Universe or whatever, some big deal contest, and I don't think he won, but I think he got far enough where it's like still good, and he. Like something like Now This or one of those stupid things on social media, they got a hold of it and it's like, oh, he's inspirational, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that was probably the one instance where I felt genuinely conflicted because of everything I just said. On the one hand, it's dumb. And, you know, he shouldn't be called inspiring because he has CP. But on the other hand, bodybuilding's hard for anyone, and it's not easy when you have the kind of CP he had, which causes him to, like, shake all the time.
When was the last time you saw a video of a regular old bodybuilder calling him inspiring? Here's my thing. There is such a... It's like a niche thing. So basically, like, if you have liked every sports and health page ever on Facebook, then chances are you probably seen videos of regular old bodybuilders who don't have disabilities and they're still called inspiring.
Yeah, but I would, though. I would. And I called Steve, I think his name was inspiring, too. But the reason that I called him inspiring probably isn't the reason that Joe Schmo did.
I'm saying that, you know, an aspiring bodybuilder might be inspired by other bodybuilders, regardless of disability. But the thing about something like Steve, the wheelchair-using bodybuilder, is that...
He wasn't wheelchair-user, but whatever.
Whatever. Steve, the bodybuilder with cerebral palsy, is that he's shared by kajillions of people who don't give two craps about bodybuilding,
exactly,
but find him inspiring because he's disabled.
You're right. And that's... But again, like, that's why I was so conflicted, because I knew why I found him inspiring, and I thought the reason that I found him inspiring was the correct reason to find him inspiring. But then I was like, wait, is there really a correct reason to find anything inspiring? And then I was like, well, of course there is, because otherwise it's objectification. And that's sort of what, you know, and it goes around and around. It's just, but most things are pretty cut and dry. But every once in a while, I run into something like that, where it's just like, yeah, whatever. But, you know... I found that in that particular instance that my bigger problem was BuzzFeed or Now This or whoever was the one that, like, made that stupid 5-second clip in the first place.
Because it's clearly all about sensationalizing it. So even though you in particular interpreted it as being inspiring to you because you have the same disability and you can't do that, but you think it's cool that he can do that.
I'm pretty lazy. I probably could bodybuild if I tried.
I've literally seen you pull yourself up by the subway handle.
That's my point. See, I can. I'm just lazy, but I mean, that doesn't make it any less inspiring, but you know what I'm saying. Whatever. Steve's cool, man.
Shout out to Steve.
Yep, I don't know him at all.
I think that's our takeaway for this episode. Steve is cool. Really cool.
Well, okay, if I had to do a takeaway for this episode, it would just be, you know, if you're somebody who is out and about and you see a disabled person and you want to call them inspiring, think about why. And if you can't come up with something other than look at him, don't say it.
I would say that's the exact same logic for should you hit that share button on that post.
The answer is always no. Don't do it. Because no, I'll take that. That's even worse.
I have a better idea. Anytime you have the urge to share something that you think is inspiring or someone that you feel bad for who has a disability, go find a picture of a cute animal and share that instead. Because we can all collectively ooh and ah over it, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Here's a good rule of thumb. If somebody tells you to share something, don't.
It depends on the source. I don't know if that's a good rule of thumb, because that really does depend on the source.
Anyway, well, it's very easy to see which things are bad. It's not that hard. And that's why it really bothers me. And I'm not just saying that as a disabled person who knows. I don't think that it's really that hard, because if you replaced the disabled person with a person of a different race or a woman instead of a man or something, everyone would think that you're stupid for saying that they're inspirational because they're a woman. So what? Lots of people are women. You see how dumb that sounds? It's the exact same thing.
Go find a cute puppy picture instead is how I feel about this. Also, if you want to feel inspired or get your warm fuzzies, go get yourself a video of a dog or a cat or a turtle or a pig using a little wheelchair made of Legos or something.
Or just listen to our podcast because we're inspiring, but not because we're disabled, because we're cool.
I feel more inspired already.
Anyway, Did you have any final take? We kind of did like a simultaneous one there.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with what I already said.
All right. Cool. And on that note, I guess that is another episode of The Accessible Stall in the books there.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Really appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.